Mira and Harper Audio present Cursed at Dawn by Heather Graham, performed by Roger Wayne. Dedicated in loving memory to E.D. Dan Graham, my amazing father, strong enough to be gentle, wise, and wonderful, and to have given me the best of life's lessons, so many of his words still guiding me today. Also to my grandfather John, the old Scot, and to the Graham clan, Stirling, Scotland. Prologue. Yes, he was bleeding. No, he didn't care. He'd replace the blood soon enough, because for now, they were rushing to make sure that the bleeding was stopped. He lay with his eyes closed, waiting. The right moment would come. They checked his heart. They monitored his breathing. The medical profession offered people who were rather pathetic. They took their Hippocratic oath, and then they were bound to save every man. Course, many of them tended to think that they were gods, that they had the power of life and death. Arrogant gods. But gods could fall. Like Dr. Henson. But all around him, people were rushing to save the life of the prisoner who had been plugged with a shiv in the dining room. Rather foolish. That prisoner might well get the death penalty from either the federal government or the state of Louisiana. Not to mention the other places he faced charges. But of course, his intent was to live, and he had faked the riot in the cafeteria, with a little help from his friends. He was good at making friends. He was such a nice guy. "Steady," the nurse said, issuing a sigh of relief. "His blood pressure was so low, but it's climbing. 110 over 70. I think we've got the bleeding stopped."
"I guess whoever hates this guy hasn't got the best aim in the world," the doctor said, shrugging. "Well, I guess he'll make trial. Or trials. I understand that the charges against him are massive, and that a lot of people want a piece of him. We have provided the whole so they can all have their pieces. Sometimes. Yeah, well, we're here to save lives, right? Even if they don't deserve to be saved."
"Yep. We save lives."
"I'm going to get the guards to get back in here. We'll keep him in the infirmary, but I want him cuffed to the bed."
"He may not make it yet, doctor," the nurse murmured. "I saw the floor where he was lying when they dug out the pile of prisoners. He's lost so much blood. I hope that the transfusions are enough.
I want him cuffed. Hold tight." It was going just the way that he wanted. The way the axe murderer, Justin Miles, had said that it would. So much for high security. Guards outside. But then he'd been a dying man, and they'd worried so to save his life. It wasn't good for prisoners to die in the penal system. The doctor went out, and it was a piece of cake. A stab of the needle into the nurse, who was so shocked she never let out a peep. Then a very brief wait for the doctor. He hid behind the door, seizing the man in a neck lock the minute he walked back in, cutting off his breath, cutting off any chance of him screaming. High security, right. Men running around, armed, all ready to keep prisoners under control. When the first two guards walked in, they naturally assumed that he was the doctor, and then, well, then they were easily dispatched, dead or dying, he wasn't sure. He arranged the room so that their bodies couldn't be found quickly, and the stage was set. The nurse was out of the way in the closet. The doctor was on the table in prison garb, ready for a transfusion because of the massive amount of blood found with Dante's fallen body. Except, of course, there was no chance that any amount of blood would help the man. With the doctor's wallet, keys, and clothing.
"Sample complete. Ready to continue?"